cast your memories back to this time last week, sort of, and we did the Wheel of Doom, and a film came out, which was my choice, Song of the South, and we just couldn't find it. Even dodgy downloads let us down. So, quick panic, or a panic, and a quick decision later, we've decided to do Enter the Dragon. Because recently, what's the anniversary of it? Is it 50, 60 years?
50.
No, it's not. Oh, yeah, it is 50, of course. Of course it is. So, Prague and Adam, I know, went to the cinema to see this recently. I have seen this before. So, I'm going to start with Ev. And have you seen this movie before, Ev?
No.
No? Ooh.
No.
Have you seen many Bruce Lee movies before?
If you can class Dragon, the Bruce Lee story, as a Bruce Lee film, then yeah, I've seen that.
You've seen one.
which didn't even have Bruce Lee in. Yeah.
Evan, you're coming through quite quietly there, but I can barely hear you. Now that we're over the sound issues, we were on.
Should we start again?
Evan was quickly talking about the masterpiece that is Dragon, the Bruce Lee story.
I like that film. I think it's really good.
No, I do too. I've always had massive fondness for it, but that's what you were talking about then.
Yeah.
Is that
the
one? Sorry, Ev, to interrupt. I need to work out if this is the right film I'm thinking of. That he like goes to college in America. There's like a gym scene where someone comes over to him and he sort of ultimately ridicules them because of he's so superior as Bruce Lee. Is it that one?
Kind of. Yeah, I think it's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, with Lauren Holly, who was married to Jim Carrey.
The bit that stands out to me the most in that is the kitchen scene. The bit where they have that fight in the kitchen. The fight scene in the kitchen. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Oh, Bruce Lee and Lauren Holly?
No, it's like a chef. It's like a sort of chef.
Oh, yeah.
It's in a restaurant one. But I just always remember that scene from it. It always stands out to me.
I always remember the scene where he faces off against the guy who broke his back in the ring. He's come out and said he can beat anyone in 60 seconds, and that guy turns up, doesn't he?
I always remember when I was a kid, right? Because Bruce Lee was very popular when I was a kid in school. Like, I'd seen all of the Bruce Lee films when I was a kid. But I used to really like Dragon, the Bruce Lee story. But all the kids in school were like, that's the crap one. That's not really a Bruce Lee film. So I remember I used to like tell everyone I didn't like it. But really, I used to watch it quite often in the house because I used to think it was a good film. If it's one of those ones if you asked me in school, I'd be like, yeah, Dragon's crap. But really, I used to watch it quite a lot.
Like an Adam trying to fit in with the cool kids.
Yeah, it was peer pressure, yeah. Because all the boys were like, can't see you like Dragon, the Bruce Lee story. It's not even Bruce Lee.
With all the Kung Fu Ebervillians.
Yeah, they were really popular movies when I was a kid in school, like Bruce Lee and Jackie Chan films, and like even other martial art films, like, you know, the Blood Sports and No Retreat, No Surrender, Kickboxer. Like, there was an absolute, like, there was a big culture for like those sort of films when I was growing up in Ebu. So I'd seen all of these sort of films growing up, Bruce Lee's and all that sort of stuff.
Best of the best.
Yeah, it had to be done. Yeah, it's us Valley boys training. It is to be Valley's warriors,
Valley commandos.
Yeah, Valley commandos. Yeah.
Sorry, Ev. Finish your story about Bruce Lee, buddy.
I know.
I didn't have a story, to be honest. That was the only Bruce Lee film I saw. So
I've seen quite a few of the Bruce Lee films. Fist of Fury, is it Return of the Dragon? Which one is this one before this one?
Way of the Dragon, sorry. It's not two titles.
Yeah. And I've seen this one previously as well. So I have a neighbour, and Prog may remember him. I think he worked in Asda. Daryl, he was a year older than us.
Maybe.
I can't remember his surname. Anyway, Daryl lived a couple of streets away from me. And I didn't really bother with him much, but when I did, and I always remember two things about his house. He had like an amazing martial arts back catalogue of every film possible. So that's how I was introduced to Bruce Lee. But also he had amazing toys. He was the sort of guy who had like every Star Wars figure and like the big playsets that went with it, the Millennium Falcon, Jabba's, like, I don't know, whatever it was he had, the playset to do that. But also he had the Brave Star toys. And oh. I used to love going around his house. I don't know if you remember the Brave Star toys, but like a He-Man figure was about, I don't know, 5 inches. The Brave Star ones were even bigger again, and it always stood out. So yeah, fond memories of going round and playing Brave Star and watching Bruce Lee.
I always remember, like, there was always that kid that had the best setup at home. So I always remember when I was a kid, the Batman cartoon was massive when I was a kid. Like the remember the 1991 animated
brilliant series that was.
Yeah, or 92. But a friend, this guy I used to know in school, Kieran, his name was. He had like all of the toys from that. He had the Batmobile. He had even all the baddies. He had all the Two-Face toys and Joker. He had all of it. I used to love going around his house after school and just playing with those Batman toys.
Can I come round and play with your toys, please?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, that's how it used to be like when you were. Remember those sort of days when you were a kid and you'd be like, you go around your mates after school and you just raid their toy box and just be like, you just, you know, play with their toys. It was just how it went, wasn't it? Like, really, it was good times.
So that kid, Dad, was he an only kid?
No, he had two brothers, like me, but his parents must have had better jobs because he had all... I always remember as well, I had a Sega as well, but he had a Sega Mega Drive with loads of games, like just so many games. And I only had like 4 games for the Sega, but he had like loads back then. Go on.
Dad, you just said you had two brothers like me. Does that mean you were counting yourself as one of his brothers? Or
That's why he was around playing his toys all the time.
No, I had two brothers. I have two brothers and a sister. But no, he was... He had two brothers, like I had two brothers at home. But I'm just saying, his parents are on better money. Obviously,
I just like the idea that you would be there in the house somehow, and they'd just be like, "Ah, you don't live here.
Just go home.
Don't make me go back to that house without any Batman toys. No, like that."
I used to love, right? Do you know where we lived? So we lived in Aberdare, and the next valley over, which is Merthyr Tydfil, it had, I think Bluebell was the toy company, and they had a factory there. And they made the big yellow teapot. This may have passed Adam by, he might be a little bit too young. But like everyone in like the valleys had a big yellow teapot. Either it was probably stolen, or they probably had it out of the factory, you know, dirt cheap.
Oh, I remember them. I'm just looking at it now. I can remember. I didn't have one, but I can just remember. You'd see them in doctors' waiting rooms.
Because every Valley's kid had one, that's right.
That is the quintessential doctors' waiting room toy. Do you remember like when you go to the doctors' waiting room as a kid and you just have like a random box of toys you just play with, just, you know, while you were in there? Like,
It'd be like a big yellow teapot, and then the characters that normally go in there, they're long gone, and you're playing with, like, I don't know, a bloody Ewok and Mumra or something on the wrong place set.
I used to want one of them, and I never got one.
Did you guys used to get pocket money when you were a kid? Like, did you get weekly pocket money, you guys?
Yeah, sort of. Not regularly, but I would get like 50p or whatever.
Yeah, in high school.
I used to have £1 every Sunday. I used to have £1 every Sunday. That was my entire pocket money budget. And I'd either go down to the spa with my brother, and we would remember they used to sell those like cheap toys in the corner shop. We used to just buy a £1 toy from there. Or if my nan was going to the car boot sale, we'd go there with a quid in our pocket, and just buy some junky old second hand toys from there, which people were just chucking away.
Robocop, was it?
Yeah, something like that. But I always remember once, me and my brother went there, and with my nan, and. This show passed me by a little bit, but I still had it. Do you know, remember Mask, the old 80s cartoon? I never really watched the cartoon of it, but I always remember, for like, this woman must have just felt like, you know, just wanted to get rid of this big hunk of plastic, because why wouldn't you? And for like a quid, I bought like the old, the giant like garage.
Boulder Hill, it was called.
Yeah, it was like a big mountain, and it opened up, and it was like, it was all stuff underneath there. But I just remember buying that when I was a kid from a car boot sale for like a quid. Oh my god, that's it right there. I'm looking at it right now. Yeah, that's what I had.
Is it Boulder Hill?
Yeah, I've just got. I'll share my screen so everyone can see it.
But it used to have a little boulder that sat on top of like what looked like a volcano, right, and then the gun would pop up and the thing would come down.
Do you know what I always thought about that though? How did they get a boulder back up the hill?
Once they see it once, it's over. Because there's a petrol station in like a rock face, wasn't it? And then that would fold down and guns would come up.
I used to prefer Mask to He-Man and Thundercats and all that. And I think it was because when you bought a vehicle or something from the Mask set, it could change into something else. So it was almost like having two toys in one. That's why I also loved Transformers, because you would have like a figure, but it would turn into a car or a van or something.
There we go. That's what it is. But I got to be honest, while I was looking at that, doesn't that one look like a big steaming pile of crap? For there. That's like a big plastic dog pooed on it.
How basic does that look now? But when you were younger, I remember that being much better than it.
When we were younger, I think you remember this as well. There was a number of play sets that you probably wanted. I always wanted Boulder Hill, never got it. The other one I always wanted, and Prog, you may have had this, was the Ghostbusters head fire station. Yeah. Did you have that, Prog? My word, I wanted that so badly.
Yeah, but didn't you have the Thundercats one?
No, I did like a little version of it, not the proper one. And the other one, Thundercats, you know, Panthro's vehicle, I can't remember what it was called. Was it called the Cat? Was it? Yeah. I used to love that.
I had that.
Yeah, Kenner, that's the one.
Oh, my God. I had that when I was a kid. I didn't mean to click on that one.
485.
Wow. Look how basic it looks like.
Yeah, but this one, it's missing the pole, because what happens is there used to be a little red platform that twirled around the pole.
Yeah.
And right at the very top of the station, there were some grills, and you could put the slime that came with some of them.
Yes.
Through it. I had Ecto 1 though. On Ecto 2.
I can actually remember right when I was a little kid. If I was at night time, if it was like cold out, I would lie under my blanket with that on my lap, the Ghostbusters fire station, and just have like I could just remember like I don't know how you get lost in stuff as a kid with toys and stuff, but I just remember like vividly playing with that quite a lot when I was a kid. I absolutely loved that.
It's called imagination, Ad.
Yeah, I know, but it's so weird to think back on now and it, like, just like, you know.
Oh, it's brilliant. So my youngest is 3 and he's just started to do that imaginative play. You know, he's getting little figures. He Playmobil, we've bought him. And I'm on the hunt actually for a second hand fire station from Ghostbusters for that.
So get in touch with that. Rewind the movies, people.
Yeah. If anyone's got a Playmobil and they live in the South Wales area, let me know. Playmobil, fire station, Ecto 1 I'm after.
Well, but what's the big toy for the kids now, anyway, just quickly while we're on this topic?
I don't know.
Lego.
Yeah, Lego is still popular. Really expensive. Used to be expensive back in the day, but even more so now. I don't know, because all ours were sort of based around cartoons, weren't they? It was always, you know, Turtles, it was Ghostbusters, it was He-Man, Transformers. But I don't know what big toys there are now. Action Force. Or G.I. Joe for our American listeners.
Do you remember one called Centurions?
Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah.
What was the other one where they had the animal on the front? Was it
Visionaries?
Oh, yeah.
Well, wasn't that the hologram? Yeah, the hologram. Yeah, I remember that.
But they could become that creature, couldn't they?
Yeah, I think so.
Defenders of the Earth as well.
I was just looking on eBay about that yellow teapot, and that's going for £90 as well.
You finally gonna get one, Ev?
Yeah, I'm gonna get one for his birthday next year.
I know. We got a cost of living payment coming up in work. That's what I'm gonna buy.
Well, everyone's but
for the month, just get a yellow teapot.
Everyone's like, you know, using it to survive. Everyone's there buying retro toys. Right,
they'll appreciate. Yep.
Going back to this film, then Enter the Dragon. Prog, when did I'm assuming you've seen this before? You must have.
I'm gonna say, when I was growing up, I absolutely loved Bruce Lee. I thought he was the really, and I'm talking from when I was about 15 or 16 up until mid-20s. I'd say I had a good 10 years where I thought Bruce Lee was couldn't do anything wrong. And that goes for... I haven't seen all the films. I've seen the majority of them. And there's one I think I haven't seen, and I always get it confused with one I have seen, so I can't remember now the name of it. But I liked his films. But what I liked more than anything was how he held himself, his demeanour and approach. Like, I read books on him and watched videos if I could of him and read interviews and stuff, and like I was fast. He's the one. You know when people say about I hate who's your idol or who's your hero, because I think oh, well, that's a lot of crap really. But if I had someone who I looked up to when I was younger, and it wasn't Richard Brigodage, then it was Bruce Lee. I don't know why. I think I just had some sort of fascination with him.
It's funny though, because none of us growing up, I wouldn't say I loved him, but you know, I was very aware of his movies. And I watched a few of them over and over, but none of us did martial arts, karate, kung fu, whatever you would be.
Well, I did karate for a few years, and then I gave up when I found football.
I did it once, I gave it up. Because when you went to the toilet, you'd come back and do press-ups. So I said, I'm not coming back here again.
The thing is, I can't claim to have started doing karate because of Bruce Lee. I actually started doing karate because of Karate Kid. So I'm not cool enough to have the backstory there.
It was judo for me.
Judo?
Yeah.
Do you know what? That kind of makes sense for you because you've got heavy hands.
Judo's not about being heavy-handed, but it's about...
I can imagine you like using people's against themselves and stuff. I can see that with you.
One sort of judo move where you grab them and you fall on your back and you kick them over. I can see Adam doing that, Adam doing it.
It's all about being gentle, judo is. It's all about being gentle and stuff.
No, that's making love, lad.
You got to confuse that.
I just googled judo right now, and it says straight away the gentle way.
God help Liz if you're mixing them up. But
no, it's a good. Now bear in mind, it was more just to like, you know, I think a lot of kids. I just used to do it to go hang out with the other kids doing it, because like judo was, for whatever reason, I was quite popular in the leisure centre, and I used to go to judo. I don't think I ever had any belts in it. I just used to go in like, you know, hang out with the other kids. Because a lot of the kids over there didn't go to my school. You know, just you get up for a while. It was a Wednesday evening. I always remember I went on Wednesday nights. Me and my brother Josh went to judo for a couple of years, or maybe a year, maybe even. It was actually probably a few months, because when you're a kid, time just feels longer, right? So it probably was just a few months. But
yeah,
good times. I tried taekwondo, but I didn't like that. I thought that was crap. So I was like, this end judo.
You could have been an MMA fighter right now. We could be in Vegas watching you right now.
If only I did a few more judo lessons, right? I wouldn't be on this podcast right now. I'd be up there with Conor McGregor and all that, wouldn't I? Just like busting chops and stuff. But
you like to talk the smack, don't you? So.
Well, the thing is, I was doing my judo lessons and I was throwing people down all the time. And I was like, I went on one day and I watched a cartoon. And I was like, no. This is the way for me. Making my gift is giving the world cartoons, not being Conor McGregor level fighters. So
you put down the fists and you picked up the pencil, then you went and started drawing.
I did, yeah. It was, as I was watching the cartoon, I just heard the echo of the gentle way go through my head, and I was like, yeah, and nothing's more gentle than drawing a cartoon.
This is the way. Ad, what about you? When's the first time you saw it? Do you remember?
I don't know exactly the first time I watched it, but I don't know if any of you remember this, but do you remember the box set, the VHS box set of Bruce Lee films back in the day when the spines made... I'll show you it right now. I got it up on the screen.
You had a picture on the spine, didn't it?
It's this one right here. I'm going to share my window again. They've got the pictures the wrong way around on that, which is infuriating, but if I click on the eBay link here, this was sort of like the thing everyone had back in the day. You put them together and it made like that picture of Bruce Lee on the shelf.
Big Boss. That was the other one I've seen. Way of the Dragon?
No, the first one.
Yeah. But they're not in the right order, those films, aren't. But basically how it went was with Bruce Lee. I never owned that full set, but I had a couple of tips from it. Someone else I knew had a couple of tips from it. And then we just used to like lend each other's tips and just watch them at each other's houses and stuff. So I'd seen all five of those. And then I think Enter the Dragon, it wasn't part of that set, but I remember, I never owned it, but I do remember watching it. I think I might have taped it off TV, Enter the Dragon. But I did watch it a few times. But I will say, I do like Enter the Dragon, but it was always my least favourite one, Enter the Dragon was. It was the one I liked the best was Way of the Dragon and The Big Boss. Those were my two favourites.
So, Way of the Dragon, the one with Chuck Norris?
That's right, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, that was the one I liked the best. I always liked Way of the Dragon, but I just used to think the other ones were a bit cooler when I was a kid.
Has your opinion of it changed since we went to the cinema?
Yeah, I still love it. I always liked it when I was a kid. I still liked it now. I mean, I just remember I haven't watched the other ones in years, so maybe if I watch them, I might be like, oh, I still prefer Way of the Dragon and stuff. But I'm just saying, I just distinctly remember feeling like that when I was a kid. But also, another funny thing about these, I always remember there was a kid in my school that was like the hardest kid going. He was like this proper bully in my school. And he just used to knock lumps out of people all the time. And one day he saw me and my friend swapping over some Bruce Lee tips. And he used that as a chance to become friends with us because he was like, oh, I like Bruce Lee as well. So Bruce Lee saved me from getting an hiding from that boy. So that's why another reason why I've always been a fan of Bruce Lee, because I remember him being like, what's that over there? And like just trembling, pulling out this videotape. He was like, oh, I like Bruce Lee as well. And he was like, that's what his voice was like when he was 12.
He was 42.
He looked. That's what he sounded like when he was 12. He was like, oh, I like Bruce Lee as well. And he was like...
He was on 20 a day when he was 12.
And I just remember sitting in... It was in my French class. I always remember it was in French. And I can remember sitting with him next to him throughout the lesson. And we were talking about our favourite, like, kung fu films and stuff. And, like, all, like... And he was telling us what ones to watch. And me and my friend Steve were telling him what films to watch. I always remember, since that day, he never gave us any bother. He never did. So thank you, Bruce Lee, for...
Bruce Lee buddies.
That's right, yeah. So it goes...
Shall we move on then to our sort of favourite aspects of this particular movie? What have people got? Who wants to go first?
I'm going to go with the three main guys. Bruce Lee, John Saxton and Jim Kelly. I think all three of them are so cool in this film. And I'm actually going to say that. I said it to Adam when we went to the cinema to watch it. John Saxton, right? In this film, if he was British, I would have made him James Bond. Because he's so cool in this film. He's got a proper swagger about him. And you think about John Saxon, like, how many, like, really good films is he in? That there's not many that I can remember, yet in this film, he's, like, an absolute boss, I think.
John Saxon had a really good career. He was in like.
Sorry, but I'm not saying he didn't have a good career. But when I look at him in this film, and I think what he could have done, like he's so suave in this.
He's in Nightmare on Elm Street, isn't he? First,
yeah, he's his dad.
He's his dad. Yeah, yeah. And
he was in a couple of. He was in Cannibal Apocalypse as well. I don't know if anyone's ever seen that lovely Italian horror movie.
He was in Beverly Hills Cop 3 as well.
Yeah.
Do we want to name a good film he was in?
Come on, someone else name something else I may have seen.
Well, I love Beverly Hills Cop 3, so
Adam thinks it's the best one.
It is the best one. It's my favourite one. I've never been a big fan of the first two Beverly Hills Cop films, but I absolutely love the third one. I know I'm on an island with this. But it's just the one I used to watch all the time when I was younger. He's also in New Nightmare as well. That's a great film.
And he's in From Dusk Till Dawn.
He was in some great films. Oh, is sad that he's passed away.
From Dusk Till Dawn?
Yeah, who was he in From Dusk Till Dawn?
I'm just looking it up.
He plays an FBI agent in it.
That's it. He's a cameo.
Yeah. Oh, he's getting interviewed on TV by Kelly Preston, isn't he?
I only know because I watched it quite recently. He's in Dream Warriors as well.
Dream Warriors. That's my favourite nightmare film.
And he's in yeah, of course, he's in Tenebrae as well. Dario Argento film.
Oh, forget it. I just found his best film.
Tenebrae.
Apart from Enter the Dragon, Battle Beyond the Stars. Remember that Star Wars ripoff from the 1980? Yeah, I'm telling you now, right? I'm telling you now, and I reckon you've seen Battle Beyond the Stars. You just don't remember it.
Sorry, say it again. Battle Beyond the Stars.
Battle Beyond the Stars, yeah.
I'm waiting until Christmas time to recommend this one because I am going to be pushing it. But he's in Black Christmas as well, a brilliant horror film.
Right,
brilliant horror film.
Couldn't you just nominate that for Halloween?
No, that's Christmas. I'm going to nominate that for Christmas. I think you'll all be surprised at how good Black Christmas is. Like Black Christmas is a phenomenal movie.
I'm not saying you can't nominate it for Christmas. I'm just saying you could also nominate it for Halloween, couldn't you? Because it's a horror film.
Yeah, but it's a Christmas film, isn't it? It's a Christmas horror film.
Like, can we go back to Battle Beyond the Stars and the cast?
Yeah, go for it.
Robert Vaughn, George Peppard, Richard Thomas, John Saxton. It's got a hell of a cast in it.
I'm just going to say it now, right? You have just ruined 5 minutes of Evan's podcast for when we actually do that.
Getting it in. I do recognise some of these like stills I'm seeing of it, Prog.
Yeah, so Evan will find.
Maybe I've got some, distant memory of it.
You say that, but Evan will still find people in that film you never would have expected.
I'm waiting for time for this film. I found one person in this film, which is absolute gold.
I hope
you don't know it. I hope you don't know
it. Well, all I'm going to ask is this. I'm not going to say who it is, right? But is it doing one of the martial arts demonstrations?
No.
So it's not someone standing in the background.
It's not Jackie Chan then.
Yeah.
Is Jackie Chan in the background, is he?
Well, yeah, he's one of the henchmen here. Yeah.
What, doing your homework this week to do?
No, I didn't.
He's making a note of it for his big black book.
Yeah. In all fairness to Evan, it's such a blinking. The only reason I know about it, when I was a kid, I saw it on a TV show documentary. So when I was a kid and I used to watch End of the Dragon, I know exactly what time he pops up in the film. Because when I was a kid, I used to be like, look, Josh, it's Jackie Chan. I used to do it every time when I was a kid watching it. So when we were in the cinema, I even did it to Prog. I was like, Prog, it's Jackie Chan. And Prog was just like,
can I go back to Prog's point though about the three main lead actors, as Colin there? But can you think of another film where three prominent actors are black, Asian, and white? Let's call them. What's the term I'm looking for? Protagonist.
Yeah.
So there's not many. Well, I can't think of any off the top of my head.
Well, Russia, where you've got two. But it doesn't include a white guy.
Mm.
Could you class Saw potentially?
Saw. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Hear me out. Because you got the doctor who's Carrie Elles.
Yeah.
Who's white. Danny Glover, who's obviously black, and Danny Glover's partner.
Danny Glover ain't black. What are you on about, man?
Well, you know. And his partner's Asian.
But yeah, but what I will say with this one, they are the three. Well, Bruce Lee is the star. It is the Bruce Lee.
Oh
movie,
God,
but,
yeah.
But you know, it is his two, the two under players from Bruce Lee are them. It's quite a diverse cast. I didn't think about that actually. It's very.
I think it's really good. The fact that three prominent characters. Yes, it is Bruce Lee as the lead, but yeah. I couldn't think of another sort of film that had that diversity. And I'll say it now, but one of my changes is the fact you don't get enough Williams.
I thought you were going to say one of my changes was the diversity, and I thought that's what you were going to say. I was like,
there's not enough white people in this film.
I genuinely thought, I was like, is he going to say this right now? But
it's one of my changes that I wanted to see a bit more of Williams. I also wanted to see a bit more of the tournament fighting. But we come on to that later.
Yeah, the thing is with Williams, one of those main three had to go insofar as I die and show that Han was a capable bad guy for the end fight.
Yeah, I think I have no problem with him dying. I just think if I had seen more of him fighting to begin with, Williams, in a tournament style, build up, I'm going to compare it a little bit here with Bloodsport. You see a lot of the Bloodsport fighting. I'm not suggesting this is on the same level of Bloodsport at all. This is a lot higher. But you get what I'm saying. And that way then, I think I would have been satisfied with seeing a bit more of Williams fighting, Roper fighting, and then Han just absolutely, murdering him, so to speak.
So
going back to Prog's point about the three lead characters, let's put them that way, I'm on the... That's my favourite aspect as well. Ev, what have you got?
I've got a few, really. First of all, I'm gonna hit you with the cast member. It was one of the hoodlums. He's actually got a name of Hood in IMDb. The guy with the tash who tries to get money out of John Saxon at the start.
Yeah, it, on the golf course. He puts him in a boat. That guy.
No. That's the New Zealand guy. On the golf course.
Right, who is it?
Remember? Yeah, it's the referee from Karate Kid.
Jesus Christ!
What's his name? What's his name?
Who cares?
I don't know.
No, he's quite a famous karate
come on.
Person.
It's the referee from Karate Kid. He's the
Yeah, you know him so well. He's just called referee.
he is quite famous though. I think he had a hand in possibly Bloodsport as well. I think he then became like a fight. What's the word I'm looking for? Stunt person choreographer.
Pat E. Johnson, his name.
Yeah,
is.
That's him. Yeah. He is quite famous. I've heard of him anyway.
Yeah.
He was taught by Chuck Norris. Chuck Norris taught him to fight.
And he was in Mortal Kombat too.
After Enter the Dragon?
No, from birth. He was born. And Chuck Norris started to teach him to fight.
He was born in a dojo.
I've got a fact about Chuck Norris, and it's a real fact. None of this ones you read on the internet.
He's so hard. He learned Russian by speaking Chinese and stuff. Is it?
No, that's a real one. But obviously, he was in Way of the Dragon, and he was considered for the role of O'Hara. And I think O'Hara is the guy with the scar on his face, isn't he?
Yeah.
But he declined it because he didn't want to be seen as having another sort of cinematic loss to Bruce Lee. So, when I was looking at it in my head, I thought that was Chuck Norris before I watched the film, and then obviously I realised it wasn't.
Yeah.
Did you know that Chuck Norris can pick up a missed call?
are you on a website, Dad?
And he can slam a revolving door. Some of them are absolutely brilliant.
The one I like is Chuck Norris can swim through land.
Chuck Norris can speak Braille. when Chuck Norris was born, he drove his mother home from the hospital. Oh, some of them are absolutely brilliant.
In fairness, right, as memes go, that's the meme you would want to have for yourself, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
What I love about the Chuck Norris meme is you completely forget about it, like with all memes. When, like, someone mentions him, and then you suddenly think, I'm going to look at some of the facts, and then you can spend a good hour just reading some absolute gold. Like,
I'm having a look at some now. Chuck Norris can gargle peanut butter.
Chuck Norris went to the Virgin Islands. Now they are just called the Islands.
Chuck Norris was once bitten by a poisonous snake. After a week of excruciating pain, the snake died. There's loads of them ones.
Some of them are just... Yeah, great stuff.
Right, last one from me. Chuck Norris doesn't pay taxes. Taxes pay Chuck Norris.
And also Chuck Norris plays the violin with a piano.
Yeah, those are my favourite ones because they make absolutely no sense.
Giraffes were invented after Chuck Norris uppercutted a horse. Last one, I'm clicking off it because we'll read it. The podcast will just be us reading Chuck Norris jokes all night.
I thought you were going to say another one then. Chuck Norris built the hospital he was born in. Right, come on.
Can we just do this for an hour?
Yeah, yeah. Come on, favourite aspects, Ev.
All right, hold on, I'll crank them out. The music is very 70s Shaft.
I love good this choice, one. It's my honourable mention for favourite aspect.
Is it Lalo Schifrin who did the Mission Impossible theme?
Is it?
Yes.
And the proper sound effects for the punches and kicks. So it's like whoopsh, whoopsh, and all that.
Well, the entire movie is dubbed, isn't it? What's the correct term? Adam will know. But it was filmed, and then the entire movie is the dialogue post. Is post, isn't it? So.
And I gotta say, it's the what Prog was saying about making John Saxon Bond. They have a phone and a golf cart. That's like pure Bond right there, isn't it?
Especially this is like, 72, 73?
I don't know whether this...
Can you see where I'm coming from with John Saxon as Bond, though?
Yeah, definitely.
He's got a bit of... Young Saxon. When I was watching it, he had a bit of the Roger Moore about him.
Yeah.
You know, put him in like a turtleneck sweater, similar to what he's, I suppose, wearing on that golf course.
Yeah.
He was quite suave. You know, those sort of trousers that don't seem to have a single crease in them. You know, proper 70s style.
Stark, didn't
he? Yeah, my word. They like, must be like cardboard to wear.
His real name was Carmine Orico.
Oh, where did he change that?
That was his real name.
Wow.
Right. Carmine.
Carmine, I love it.
Carmine Orico.
I almost wonder whether, like, because the Man with the Golden Gun, keeping on the Bond theme, Man with the Golden Gun was the year after this, I think, whether that was a conscious decision by the filmmakers to make it like a sort of like an Asian based location, because he's in China and Thailand.
So Man with the Golden Gun. Goldfinger.
Yeah, Goldfinger.
Man with the Golden Gun is Scaramanga, isn't it?
Yeah, Knick Knack.
Knick Knack.
Hey, Mr. Bond.
There's one we should do. He's got two nipples, isn't he?
That's Evan's best impression.
Or three nipples.
Yeah. What are you doing? Last thing for me, though, again on the Bond theme, Mr. Hans, he looks like a cross between two Bond villains. He looks a bit like Dr. No. With the gloves and everything, and Blofeld because he's got a cat.
Well, my favorite aspect of this film, though, I'm kind of going off. Obviously, Bruce Lee, aside from Bruce Lee himself, it just has such a nice shape to it. I mean, like it's just bog standard simple movie. It's just the fighting scenes are brilliant in it. Bruce Lee, his form and like his stunt work is outstanding in this film, the choreography and everything there. But if I had to give a special mention, it's that soundtrack. That soundtrack is just like, it's just iconic, isn't it? As soon as that starts off, it's just any Kung Fu parody now has that tune in there, but it all comes from Enter the Dragon. It's a great movie, man. I just big fan of the film.
The quick close ups and stuff.
It's just like I also just love like I but Williams, Jim Williams and John Saxon though, I do love how they're just a pair of absolute shaggers in this film as well. I do like that aspect of it. I thought that was quite funny. They just rock up and they're just like, we're just gonna bang everyone, and then Bruce Lee's the only one who's trying to save this poor woman. Like,
there's that scene, isn't there, with Williams where he's like, I love you. And you, and you, and he ends up having like five women.
Yeah.
Player.
Then he said, sorry, have I left anyone out?
It's like one woman as well. That's the worst bit about that scene. It's like one woman he leaves out. Can you imagine how gutted she was walking back to her bedroom, like, oh, he had everyone else but me. It's like being picked last of the football game, isn't it?
I don't know, but I think she's got me thankful for the rest.
I was just going to say, John Saxon's a bit more ballsy, I thought, though, because he just kind of like goes past. I've never seen a guy do this in a film scene like this before, but he's like, he goes past the women and just goes straight to the head mistress lady. He's like, you. And she goes to him as well. She falls in love with him as well. So I think John Saxon has the more game. He's the more suavest one in this movie.
I can say, do you think the story of Mortal Kombat is loosely based on this film? With everyone goes.
It's heavily influenced. I think I've read that somewhere as well. You know, a lot of these sort of like tournament fighting games came from some of these.
And also 1,000 other kung fu films and kung fu games are inspired heavily by this. This is almost like the template. These early Bruce Lee films are like a former template of like decades of films after, you know what I mean?
We've been talking for about 40 minutes already, so let's move on. Well, probably longer than that. Let's move on to favourite scene, and let's try and quickly do these. I'm going to hold you just to one scene each. Ev, what have you got?
The fight scene after the alarm. I think that's really good. Where Bruce Lee throws the snake in the room. And then the fight scene immediately after that, I think that's really good.
Is it? Are you counting this when the prisoners have escaped?
No. This is when he goes into the facility or whatever, and like there's two henchmen in the control room, and basically he gets a snake that's in the bag, throws it in the room. One of them, and it cracked me up when he did it, jumped through the window. But did like a forward roll, like, way, you know. And yeah, just the fight scene after that when he's fighting all the guards.
Yeah.
I just think that's really good.
I'm going to be surprised if someone else doesn't pick mine, and that's the mirror room scene, the fight scene at the end.
Oh, yeah.
It's quite iconic, isn't it?
That was my second choice, too.
Yeah, it's... I'm sure other people will add to this, but... I just think I remember watching it as a kid, and you know, the suspense and the oh my word, where is he scenario. And I think also loads of other films have done something very similar since then. I think It does something similar, doesn't it? And whatnot. John Wick. So I reckon you could probably find easily 10 if you had a good think or a search on the internet.
Can I say two things about that scene? Number one, I didn't think that was going to hold up after, because I hadn't watched the film for a while. I was like dreading coming to that scene, but I thought it was brilliant. Number two, Hans is a dirty bugger, isn't he? Got all those mirrors in that room with that bed. Like, I reckon he's doing some stuff there.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they're all his sisters, aren't they?
No, he had a room with his daughters.
Oh, daughters, that's what it is, yeah.
Yeah, but they were, like, downstairs in some sort of part of this basement or dungeon or whatever. He had all the other call girls upstairs, didn't he?
Anything else to add on the mirror scene before we go on to changes?
It's classic and iconic, isn't it? But I've always loved the quote, don't concentrate on the finger pointing at the moon and stuff. That's always been one I've always remembered. Remember that bit? It's like the most famous, one of the more famous Bruce Lee quotes. But I love, it's a cool little scene as well. But you both said the mirror scenes and what I would have said basically. So, but I love the I do love the bit where like John Saxon, like is I do love the bit where John Saxon knocks out the three mafiosos down by the f-ing pond. Done with the fudging pond.
Yeah, the beginning of the film.
Yeah, he just shows his strength and just belts them all out.
If you think about it now, right, so many films have borrowed from this movie. You know, that whole, you're invited to a tournament, you see them then travelling to the tournament, the actual fight scenes in the tournament itself, and then there's, you know, there's something at the end which is for the greater good. I tell you what's really iconic about this film for me is Bruce Lee with the three, I think it's three, scrapes, whichever, you know, wherever it is on his body, whether it's on his cheeks or wherever it's on his chest, and it's from Hans's hand, or claw, I should say. And that claw at the very end, when it's stuck into like the piece of wood, as soon as that bit came on for the movie, I was like, oh my God, I forgot all about that scene. But of course, it's, again, another quite iconic scene to close out the movie.
Is that what Bruce Lee's looking at right at the end of the film? Before the credits roll up?
It's the claw that has the furry bit of hand on it. And it's in like a piece of wood.
Yeah, but that's the last scene of the film before the credits roll.
I don't know if it's the last scene, but it's definitely one of the last scenes.
Because I didn't know what that was. I was going to ask in here. I was like, what's he looking at? Because Bruce Lee looks at that before he walks off, and then the credits come up.
Let's move on to changes then. What have people got? I can see Ev, go on.
No, I haven't got anything.
Well, it's not so much changes. It's just sort of, you know, a couple of observations. Casual racism from the coppers who tried to pick up Williams.
Casual racism?
Well, I'd say casual racism. You know,
it was a bit beyond casual.
Formal racism, shall we say.
Yeah, but you need that. But then you get the satisfaction of seeing Williams knock them both out in the police car. I love the fact
he nicks their car. He doesn't even just run away. He nicks their car. Brilliant. Yeah. And he puts the siren on.
Yeah.
I know. And I just found it funny, like right at the start, the first fight that Bruce Lee has, it's a bit of a mismatch though, because he's fighting like a fat lad. And there's Bruce Lee with like his big, massive, like cut physique. And there's this, like, you know, the fat lad, who, to be fair to him, he's doing like a few sort of, you know, somersaults or whatever before Bruce Lee gets over him.
I've got a couple of questions and observations as well. It does the typical movie trope of one person fighting the main person at a time. I can forgive that. It's a film of its time, and it makes for better viewing anyway. Because if everyone just jumped on him, end of movie. So, but anyway, I wanted to mention it at least anyway. At times, I'm not the greatest fan of the point of view shot of Han, what's his name? Han, whatever his name is. No, when he's like trying to fight Bruce Lee, and he's got his claw in front of him. I'm not a fan of that shot at times, but it, you know, it doesn't take away from the film for me. There was a continuity error in the sense that Han slashed at Bruce Lee once, and Bruce Lee in the next shot then had scrapes on both cheeks. He didn't do sort of like two swipes. For me, one element has dated, I think, with Kung Fu films, but I have a love-hate relationship with it. I hate the fact that the sound effects are over the top, but I think you come to sort of accept it with the genre and the era of this type of film. Because it is what it is. Yeah, like the proper sound effects and the vocal sound effects as well.
Ah, right. Yeah, but that's synonymous with Bruce Lee.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. So although it gets on my tits after a while, I think it is. It's the era. It's Bruce Lee as well, isn't it?
You know, the weird thing is, right, is that I kind of agree with you, but when it comes from Bruce Lee, I don't care.
Yeah. No, I agree. It didn't take away from my enjoyment of the film. But
it's Michael Jackson doing his hee-hees, isn't it? If anyone else done it, I wouldn't want to listen to that.
And then two other points. The one bit I really dislike about the film is the transition when they go into like the I was going to say the dream sequence, but it's not a dream. But no, when they think back. So Williams and Saxon are both travelling to the tournament, and they have their flashback scenario, and it was a proper like blurry sort of transition. It's yeah. But again, you got to remember this film is 50 years old, so yeah.
How would you do the transition?
I probably would have done it the same. I'm not a filmmaker. Ooh, I would have done it Wayne's World style.
What do you do?
yeah, and then the other question I've got, do you remember Bruce Lee on that first night goes out exploring? How comes the three or four guards that he beats up, how comes no one can explain to Han, what his name is, what he looks like? And then Han thinks it's Williams. You know, Han could have said, oh, was it a big black guy? Because I know he was out roaming about. And they would have said, no, it's this little like Chinese guy. So, but anyway, these are just observations. Then, you know, this film, for me, I really enjoyed it. So,
can I just point out that Bruce Lee wasn't Chinese?
He was was he American Chinese or Chinese?
He was Hong Kong.
Oh, was he? Okay, I stand corrected. There's the bit of racism I'll have to take out of the movie, out of the podcast. Ad, have you got anything?
No, not for changes, no. The thing is, like, obviously there are parts of the filmmaking which are a little bit, you know, they've dated a bit, but ultimately it adds to the charm. So I wouldn't change a thing in this film. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, I mean, okay, if you want to get really technical about it, I'd say for anyone that might, like myself, look to buy 4Ks and stuff. Some of the transfer shots are a little bit blurry. I'm guessing the one me and Prog watching the cinema is going to be the same one they release on the 4K disc. But again, mostly it's a very nice transfer I found. But you know, what are you going to do? You're looking at a 50-year-old film, for God's sake. There are going to be cracks.
I just find it amazing that they're able to do it. Take the film that is 50 years old, that was pulled, you know, that was filmed on whatever old stock, which has probably been sat in storage somewhere and deteriorated slightly, surely.
Well, no, because, you know, it is a Warner Brothers film. It was a pretty big movie at the time. It was a huge movie. And, like, so it wasn't shot on like old film or anything. It's like, you know, that's the thing with film, right? If film is beautiful. It's like
I'm not saying it was old, but it's 50 years old. Ultimately, that's what I'm saying.
You're wondering how much it can degrade.
Yeah, degrade and how much you can upscale it anyway. But ultimately, Adam's right. I think it's still a good looking film.
I think it's pretty good as long as it's kept in the tin. As long as it's not kept out, as long as it's not left out, I think you're fine. It's sunlight that, or exposure to light that'll ruin film, not air so much.
Right. Before we wrap up this podcast, a couple of things I want to mention. Paulo Yang, or whatever his name is, the guy who was also in Bloodsport, I'm surprised we've gone like an hour into this podcast and he hasn't had a mention yet. But my word, he was a beast, wasn't he? He was huge. Massive guy.
I think he was bigger in Bloodsport, though, wasn't he?
I don't know. Because he was a bodybuilder, I think, before he became an actor, wasn't he? And that's why he was so jacked. Well, he wasn't just jacked, he was massive. But, I was trying to look then at all the films that I know him from, and he hasn't done a huge amount of like mainstream, but I always know him from Bloodsport. Right, and then the final thing I was going to mention, the budget was 850,000 and they returned 400 million.
Not
box
bad,
office. Unbelievable. Prog always says about this though, because I got another fact. Normally, that's what the cost of the film was budget wise, is normally separate then from what they use from a marketing point of view. So the budget for marketing was over £1 million. It was unlike any other promotional campaign that they'd seen before, and it was extremely comprehensive. To advertise the film, the studio offered free karate classes, produced thousands of illustrated flipbooks, comics, posters, photographs, and organised dozens of news releases, interviews, and public appearances for the stars. So their marketing was more than what the film was.
I wouldn't mind betting that the marketing technique for this film they used going forward for a lot of other, you know, bigger pictures.
But if you think about it now, right, let's round that up to say that the marketing and the budget was £2 million, is 1.8, right, million. So that's £2 million to return £400 million. And I don't know if that's adjusted for inflation or whatever, who knows, but still, it just shows how of a massive movie this was.
They never adjusted for inflation, but that's £400 million, what it took probably in box office, and then maybe like subsequent re-releases in the cinema in the decade after, perhaps. But
well, £400 million in 1973 compared to now,
it's going to be £1 billion, isn't it?
Well, we did something trillion. Similar, didn't we, with French Connection?
It's not £2 trillion, Ad.
£2 trillion. Oh my god, I can't make heads or tails of that graph.
there's too many zeros.
Yeah. No, that was quite complicated. That.
Just count the zeros.
Inflation. It's probably £2 billion. I'm assuming.
Calculate. Yeah, £2 billion. Yeah. 2.7 billion.
Well,
that's why they always say that Snow White and the Seven Dwarves and Gone with the Wind will always be the biggest money makers in cinema because of how much they made the years they came out.
And I'm assuming that figure of 400 won't include then sales of, you know, home video and things like that.
Well, it says box office tickets.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
well, I reckon sales of nunchucks after Bruce Lee movies in the 70s went through the roof.
Yeah. Like, remember they cut those scenes out, didn't they? For
well,
TV.
Well, yeah. Well, they were banned in Britain, weren't they? Right, let's wrap this up. Let's wrap this podcast up and ask the final question that we always do. Evan, would you recommend this movie?
I would, yes.
Frog? What about you?
Yeah, I'd recommend it. I still really enjoy this film.
Ad?
Yeah, I reckon modern young people today would enjoy this as well. I reckon it stands the test of time.
What's your mark, Ad?
Oh, I think I'd give this one like a 9 out of 10. What did I give? Yeah, I think I'd give it a 9. I wouldn't have given it a 10. It's not quite. Yeah, 9 out of 10. Bang on.
And what was it? Great to see on the big screen.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it was amazing. It was, and also the cinema was jam packed, full. It was like there wasn't an empty seat in the house. It was really full in there, and it was just like it was all a big bunch of nerdy men.
I was going to say, was it all 40s and 50s middle aged men trying to relive their childhood?
It was. Just it was what? One moment of the screen, and I didn't enjoy. But you know,
which was?
Oh, you know, when the guy behind us took a phone call.
Oh yeah, some guy just like straight up behind us just started having a phone call in the cinema, and Prog did the all. I didn't realize he was. I thought he was talking to his mate next to him. I didn't realize he was on the phone. Until...
Yeah, I turned around and I said, "Mate, come on, get off the phone." Like, did you you specify whether you would recommend it, Ad?
I'd recommend it. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Done longest way around to that ever.
Right, should we wrap this up and do our next choice?
The Wheel of Doom.
The Wheel of Doom. I'm going to ask Adam to do his thing and bring up the wheel.
Although Wheel of Doom has been okay the last couple of weeks, hasn't it? So
yeah, we had some good. Well, we did have a bad film, but we had thankfully availability meant we got to watch Bruce Lee. So.
Yeah.
Right then, so quick one for the people that have made it this far and got through all our cinema rants. Wheel of Doom, we got Frailty from one of our listeners, and we've got House of the Dead, which is the booby film, and then we all pick two films each, and whatever comes out, we watch next week. So let's start with, I'm going to go, Andrew, you're first on my list there. What's your two films, but?
Starship Troopers, Event Horizon.
Wow.
I was going to say Starship Troopers, so you've just taken my film off me there. Event Horizon.
There's a double bill, eh?
Two solid films, eh, but
never seen Event Horizon.
Start this week.
Yeah, that's good.
We're on to a good start. Prog, you're next.
So you know one of my films already, or you should.
Marley and Me? Homeward Bound? What
Bingo.
Is it?
Bingo.
Come on, Prog.
Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
You have to say that's the rules of the game. You can't. You can never. Someone can never assume a choice. You always have to. That's part. That is.
I love the fact there's new rules every week with Adam.
Yeah. I really fancy some Brian De Palma. So I'm going to go for. I'm going to go for one. I've only ever watched once, and I cannot remember it. Body Double.
Fair enough.
Never heard of it.
I was going to go Dress to Kill, but then I thought, nah, Body Double, because...
I thought you were going to go Scarface.
Nah. Everyone's seen that, man, multiple times.
Great film, though. Yeah, it is a great film.
Yeah, it's decent.
Anyway, Mr. Quick, what's yours, but?
Mine would be, as you mentioned earlier, The Man with the Golden Gun.
Oh, a bit of Bond, right?
Yeah. And keeping sort of on the Bruce Lee theme, I'm going to go The Crow.
Oh,
nice.
Brandon.
So far, we got a solid... Now, Andrew's taken one of my movies, so I'm going to have to just chuck a wild card in there. I'm going to go for Itchy the Killer.
The paper.
Why don't you go for Freakin' again?
It's too late now. It's in there, but... It's in there.
No, you've only made one suggestion, but...
What's Itchy the Killer?
It's just watch it. We'll if it comes up, we'll watch it. And my other one, I'm going to go to Palmer as well. Blowout.
Oh, right. Okay. Is that the Travolta one?
Travolta and Nancy Allen.
Yeah.
So one I've never seen actually.
Nancy Allen and Travolta reconnected.
When Frog said De Palma then, I was like, is he going to say Blowout? Because I would have had a case where Andrew would have taken one choice and Frog would have taken the other choice. So I was thinking, oh God, have they taken both mine?
Which one were you going to suggest of Andrew's ad?
Starship Troopers.
Okay.
Yeah. But then I was thinking, when you said De Palma, I thought you were going to say Blowout. And I was like, oh God, both my choices are going to be gone now.
Can I just say now, I'm fairly happy with our wheel. Apart from
it's a good wheel.
Killer.
Itchy the Killer is a classic, but you know it's a great film. You're only saying that to wind me up. Good wheel this week, except for the booby film. So let's go. It's going to be the booby film now that I said that.
Robin Hood. Come on, Robin Hood. It is?
Oh!
House of the Dead.
It was so close as well.
Look how disappointed everyone is. Like, oh, wow. Right, so next week's film is The House of the Dead. Welcome to the podcast. This is where I'm trying to close out. Podcasts come out every week. Don't forget to hit us up on social media if you want us to do a film. If you want to suggest maybe a booby film for next week, let us know. But yeah, cheers all.